Just a little bit of theology in that song. Wow. And I'm sure you could probably tell by the both the tenor of the music that we've sung together and also our special that we're kind of taking a turn in our series this week as we talk about blessings. And I want to explain a little bit. I always like to teach a little bit about, you know, what Scripture says as a whole. And this week what I really want to focus on is that the idea of the word blessed or blessing is often misunderstood when you understand what Scripture really teaches. Now, in the Old Testament, the word is very straightforward. A blessing is something that God passes down to someone else and just blesses them in the way that we most often use that word. Oh, he got the job he interviewed for. He's so blessed. And that's perfectly appropriate, okay? She has such a high metabolism. What a blessing. Now, we may or may not say that rejoicing with her. That could be said with several different tones of voice, couldn't it? But it's that kind of idea. But here's the key. When you get to the New Testament, it really takes a turn because in the New Testament, it's kind of a divine paradox. And we find it beginning in the book of Matthew all the way through the book of Revelation. Because here's a good definition of what it means to be blessed as a Christian. Okay, New Testament, following Christ. Here's a good definition. An experience of the inner riches amid external poverty and trial. There's a real turn that you see in the New Testament. Because it's absolutely true, God's blessing as seen in the Old Testament still comes through. How many in here could give a testimony, if you had time, of a way God just flat out blessed you in the last year? How many could do that? Probably all of us. And if you couldn't, you probably just need to watch a little closer, because it is. It's amazing how God just simply blesses us. But for us as believers, I think the most powerful blessing we can recognize and receive is when God gives us the strength and the resources to make it through the challenges of life. And as a believer, again, we've celebrated the Lord's Supper, we've sung about it, we've prayed about it. The truth is, that's when He shines through the greatest, is when those challenges and the suffering and the pain come, and yet He is there and helps us through it, sees us through it. That's why we're calling the sermon for today, Blessed Through Challenges. And I want to tell you something right up front. This is one in our series that I don't have down pat yet. I don't. I struggled with it as I wrote it, as I listened to that song again this morning. It's like, wow, I'm supposed to preach this? I don't even know that I get it yet. But that's why I love preaching through Scripture, because this is the truth. My experience is not the truth. It's what's in God's Word that is true. And so we're going to be changed by His truth, not by our experience. Does that make sense this morning? And so we're going to start with Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 together. We're going to come back and look at that again. And then we're going to close this morning with a couple of testimonies again. So Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this opening portion of Scripture. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love, His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Now, we see the principles that we're going to talk about this morning in many different areas of life. Okay, so I thought I'd start out by talking that way, kind of helping us get on the same page, all right? I know that my body is made up of muscles and bones and all kinds of stuff that must be exercised in order for it to work well, for it to be functioning the way it was designed. And so maybe I start a new walking regimen. You know, I'm going to walk every day and try to get a couple of miles in. My wife and I got one of these watches for Christmas, and I hate this thing. I do. If you're not moving like regular, it buzzes and tells you, you got to move. I've thrown it in the water 3 or 4 times, but it's waterproof. All right? But, you know, maybe you're starting some new exercise program. When we lived in Louisville, we were just married, and it's probably hard to believe right now, but I used to be super, super skinny. And I did this call-in radio thing where they had prizes, and I won the main prize. I got entered in for a drawing, and I won a year's membership to Gold's Gym. And I'm like this big around, right? But I think, okay, you know, maybe God has a plan. I need to get in shape. So I went, and your first couple sessions, you get a trainer. And so for the first time in my life, I did bench press. I'd never done bench press in my life. And I actually did pretty well with it. And the guy was actually pretty impressed. He's like, wow, you're pretty strong. I'm like, thanks. I did a few more, right? The next morning, when it was time to get out of bed, I am not exaggerating for humor's sake. I could not lift my hands above my waist. I was like, oh, oh. Because I'd started something I had never done before. I thought I was doing so well. But you see, you have to put those muscles under some kind of strain in order to build them up, to help them reach their potential. Otherwise, they're just dormant and they don't work the way they're made. Now, this can apply to vocation. Okay, it can apply to your work. Perhaps you find something you really love to do. Have you ever met somebody, and I know we have a few here this morning, who just love teaching? I mean, they're teachers. They love to be in the classroom. They love to teach and reach out to those students. And so maybe God has called you to be a teacher. But to be honest, even after finishing a college degree, which is in and of itself enough stress and straining for a lifetime, the first week of class as a teacher, you felt like a total disaster. You got to the end, you're thinking, what in the world have I decided to do here? I mean, you could absolutely write a killer curriculum. You could put together a bulletin board that, you know, everyone could envy. But how do you deal with 25 kids who have different levels of learning abilities and learn in different ways, and all of a sudden, you're face-to-face with them every single day? So what do? Well, you could give up. Most don't. But you begin to exercise, don't you? You talk more to experienced teachers. You take workshops in those areas where you maybe feel, you know, some lacking. You visit classrooms where learning is in full swing and you hear good things about what's going on in there, and you just watch how that teacher handles all those things. You see, every one of these things is an opportunity for growth, but it's hard. Again, just using the teacher analogy, many times you got to pay for your own workshops, don't you? Because the money's not there. You've got to put in your own time. One day somebody comes to you and they present you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in your heart of hearts, you hear this truth and you know it's true. You are indeed lost in yourself. You realize sin does have control of your life. And you hear the good news. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be restored in your relationship with God. Who could turn that down, right? And so you commit your life to Christ and you're so excited about your future, you begin to walk with Him. But what happens next may surprise you. Spiritual weightlifting. Intense study. Time spent with mature believers to help you. Maybe 1,000 sleepless nights to know that He is near. It's not how you expected it to be. That's not what you anticipated. And then others come along and they throw doubt into your faith experience because, well, if God was really there, would you be going through all of that? Well, I don't see Him working too great. How's this working out for you? And yet God has blessings, many blessings, as we experience the trials in this life. It's part of the design. In fact, the reality is that when those things happen, we grow. Yeah, maybe for the first week we can't get our arms above our waist because this is a new level of challenge. But that is His design for our lives. Now, this is a huge topic. It really is, and we're barely going to scratch the surface this morning. But I thought just to introduce it into our series on blessings as an idea of a blessing, we would look at Romans chapter 5 for just a few minutes and then close with a couple of testimonies. Because here's the truth of Romans 5. Paul has something to tell us about our challenges. Okay, and I'm going to give us three quick ones this morning with a couple of results and then have our testimonies as well. All right, here's the first thing we learn from our passage for today. An intimate relationship with Jesus is the starting point of what we're talking about. It comes straight from the passage, and I want to explain it to you. But an intimate relationship with Jesus is the starting point. I have to tell you, I think one of the biggest roadblocks we have today understanding this topic of pain and suffering is that many people who believe in God, and many people who would even tell you that they're a Christian, that's the label they would use for themselves, they face a severe trial and their first reaction is, I don't understand why God would do this to me. What did I ever do to deserve this? Now, I'm not saying that's not a natural reaction. Okay, I get that. But let me show you how Paul started the whole discussion. This is where it all begins. Romans 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, before we even start talking about trials and challenges and sleepless nights and everything else, that's where it starts right there. Paul is talking about an intimate, personal, life-changing relationship with Christ. You see, even the way he begins does not apply to a seeker, someone who's interested in spiritual things, someone who's not closed to the gospel. But they're not ready for this kind of challenge we're going to talk about. Or how about the agnostic? I think some of us have folks in our families, right? They're not ready to say there is no God, but they're also not really open to the gospel yet. They don't really understand what faith is all about. This is not going to make any sense to them. If we're going to have an understanding of how these challenges actually become blessings by God's work in our lives, it begins with this closeness to Christ. And so really, as we walk through this, it's the same for our message. If you are not there this morning, if you have not committed your life to Christ, and if you're not walking with Him right now, this is going to make no sense. You're still going to leave scratching your head. The fact is that as we understand the truth of Scripture, it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of patience and time to recognize what God is doing. It's not an immediate thing. That's what I'm saying. It's a little different with this kind of blessing because sometimes you just see the blessings just dump down upon us. This one's much deeper. And it starts with this relationship with Christ. So I want to say this morning, even if you've given your life to Christ, but maybe this morning you're just kind of doing your own thing right now. You've kind of strayed away from that first love. Challenges are going to become a stumbling block, not a blessing. Does that make sense? They become something that trips us up instead of building our faith, instead of helping us grow. An intimate relationship with Jesus is the starting point. Now, you might say, well, how do I really know if I have that kind of walk with Him? How do I know if I'm really that close to Him? Well, Paul goes on and tells us a very good indicator of what's going on. Number two, in your sermon notes, evidence of peace can be an indicator if that's where you are. Okay, you have an intimate walk with Christ, evidence of peace can be an indicator in the midst of these trials. There are signs in people's lives that can acknowledge whether or not, you know what, I am walking with Christ. Not perfect, never will be, but I am taking everything to Him. I am walking with Him every day. Look at Romans 5 again, this time verses 1, and then we're going to move on to verse 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of what? Of the glory of God. See, that's where our focus is now. And if that's true, if we're walking with Christ and if our hope is in God, then we're going to have peace. And in how many circumstances? All of them. It's not because we give it to ourselves. It's the blessing of God that this peace comes along. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't come easily. It is the result of taking that intimate relationship with Jesus and growing every single day. That's why we talk about things like discipleship training and scripture memory and prayer and daily quiet times and all those things. Because we're building spiritual muscle, aren't we? And the trials come and they come and they come and they come. Anybody ever feel like, okay, I get it. Could I just have a break maybe this week? Okay, this century. Because they do. They just don't stop. But peace, as it comes out of that relationship with Christ, that becomes a blessing in and of itself. And we can step back and say, and I've heard some of your testimonies. We're going to hear one today that is absolutely amazing. I didn't do it, but this terrible thing was going on in my life, and it was like the storm was all around me, and I was fine. It wasn't like as if I was enjoying it, but I had this understanding that I was going to be okay. That's what we're talking about. But if a person does not have peace, if there's just this inner turmoil, it really is a great place to just stop and kind of reflect on our relationship with Jesus. Is there something maybe I'm allowing to get between me and Him? Is there some part of this I'm still holding on to myself, like I'm trying to direct it instead of trusting God? Is there some area where maybe I'm blocking that peace that He wants to give to me? And so we begin with this intimate relationship with Jesus. Evidence of peace can be an indicator. And then third, for this morning, maturity will help us see the results. Maturity will help us see the results. Now, this can be a challenging word sometimes, because I don't know about you, but sometimes it comes across as almost condescending, maybe some of the ways that we use it. And maybe it's because sometimes somebody has said, you're so immature. Oh yeah, I'm not immature. And then you punch them in the face. It's just, right? Nobody likes to be told that we need to grow up a little bit. Nobody likes to be told, hey, some maturing maybe needs to happen. Just like we don't like to be told, hey, you could really use some weight training right now, or you need to get on a walking run. We don't like hearing these things. But maturity will help us see the results. Now, we're reading from the writings of the Apostle Paul this morning. Okay, he did not write these words right after the Damascus Road experience, did he? Right? Where he experienced Christ, and it was an amazing experience. But after that, he went through years of trials and hardships and pain that, you know what, I pray that you and I never have to experience what he went through. Tough stuff. But as he stayed close to Christ through those circumstances, he matured in his faith, and that allowed him to write what we're reading. Look at Romans 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also, this is tough stuff, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces. And then we're going to look at what it produces here in a second. Wow. Now, that's maybe a little bit crazy, isn't it? Because now he's saying not only do we understand who Christ is and what he's doing in our lives, but we know that when we go through these trials, that God's going to help us and he's going to get glory. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Maturity helps us to understand that suffering is not purposeless. I don't know about you, but that's where I really struggle, I think, sometimes. Why is this going on right now? This makes no sense. It doesn't seem like there's any reason that this is happening. I want to just get rid of this. And yet God uses suffering in our lives in many, many ways. Now, I want to give a real quick side note. This could be a whole sermon series in and of itself. And that's simply this. Every time something bad happens in our lives, I don't believe that that's necessarily God's will. I mean, that God purposely put that into your life for that to happen. My watch just moved and said I had to move. It just told me that. It really did. That is not right. Gosh. But seriously, sometimes evil will be perpetrated in our lives and we step back and we say, well, God must have wanted that to happen in our lives. We live in an evil, fallen world, don't we? However, what the Bible says is, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, He will use all things together for what? For good. So that's another whole sermon series. Take a lot of explanation. But look at what Paul says are the results of the challenges. All right? He says, we know that suffering produces, here's the first word, perseverance. Perseverance. Here's a good short definition of perseverance. steadfast endurance. It literally means that when pressure comes, we resist against it. It doesn't knock us over. That's what perseverance means. Psalm 119, look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. It's perseverance. Actually, I have a third testimony for you this morning. It's much shorter, but we have a lady in our congregation who's working on her dissertation for her PhD right now. And so I saw this post that she gave. I asked her permission to read it. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is what she wrote, not knowing what today's message was about. Pam Vincent says this: adversity creates growth. As I've lived through this PhD program, I've gone from calm to panic to anxiety, back to calm more times than I can count. You ever done that? What I didn't realize is that the experience was building within me a resilience and refining those parts of myself that really needed addressed all along. As I sit here writing my dissertation, I'm calmer than I've ever been. I'm focused. It doesn't mean I won't feel anxiety or frustration again. It just means I've grown. I've got a hunch that one of God's purposes was that all along. See, it's perseverance. And who wants to develop that, right? Somebody said one time, don't ever pray for patience because of what will happen to help you develop patience. But perseverance, when it's allowed to develop, then Paul says grows into, letter B in your sermon notes, character. And character, a really good definition of character is tested value. Somebody said that, you know, when we stand before God and all is said and done and everything material is stripped away, all that will be left is our character. That's what God sees. Perseverance leads us to develop Christ-like character. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 5. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, we could say my daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son, as his daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? You see, discipline leads to character. Those of us that are parents, we have experienced that as we've tried to parent our children and we see the resistance we get. Sometimes we do that with God too, don't we? And yet that's the reality, is when he chastises us, it's because he loves us. Without the challenges of life, our faith is untested. And I'm going to tell you, it's without strength, without those challenges. So perseverance leads to character. Character leads us to, finally, hope. And this is a beautiful word in Scripture. And you got to understand, this is not a shallow idea of hope. For instance, like maybe, well, I sure hope Andrew Luck can start for the Colts this year. That's a valid one, actually, but it's still kind of shallow, right? Or I hope we get some rain so the corn will grow. I mean, those are the kinds of ways we use the word hope. This kind of hope is that we are set for life. I mean, we are steadfast and we are rock solid in our faith because the reality is our lives are in God's hands. Now, that's hope, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, our first testimony this morning is by video. This is Judy McDaniels. And I just want to set the stage for the video. This is tough to watch. Just going to be honest with you. And I know it's taken her years to get to the point where she can share this with us. But she's going to address abuse that she experienced early in her life. And I got to tell you, it's a hard story for her to tell, and it is not taking place in close proximity to when it happened. But listen to where God has brought her. Listen to what he's done in her life and matured her enough to, you know what, even though this is a hard story, she has hope. Listen to this testimony this morning.
there's a lot of love in our home. There wasn't arguing or fighting. Of course, at a young age, I saw everything as a great situation. And even looking back, it was a great situation. We went to church every Sunday. My parents were involved. We were involved in, you know, Sunday school. And I was probably around second or third grade when I was abused by a family friend. And it would, we would be, you know, just our families would be together having a card night or something like that. And it was myself and another girl at the same age. And then nobody knew about it. I didn't tell anybody in my family until I was 40. When my dad left, he was also when I went to a revival. And that's where I gave my life to Christ. And I probably wouldn't have been as receptive if I wasn't hurting as much as I was. I didn't really notice until I started going through sober and recovery. And then I could recognize where he was loving on me. You know, I can look back and see that through my parents' split up, it also split that group of friends up, and I never had to really be around that guy again. Maria and I started just doing a one-on-one sponsorship, or a one-on-one step study. We'd come here to Mill Race, and we'd sit at the park benches, or we'd sit under here, and we would just study, listening to the birds. Sometimes it was cold, and we'd just sit in the car. But I healed even more because it was a one-on-one, and I could, even though she was sharing with me, I was sharing with her just as much. And so again, God was using the Celebrate Recovery program to bless me with a healing that I didn't think I needed.
Second testimony I want to give you this morning actually is from Scripture. And I know many of you are familiar with this, but in light of what we talked about, for 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I just want to read verses 1 through 10. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And listen to what happened to him. He said, "I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth." It was his experience, wasn't it? "But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Again, the timing was amazing, but I just saw a quote this past week by Richard Warmbrand, who again went through amazing persecutions in his life. But he said this, "A faith that can be destroyed by suffering is not faith." And it really hit me, kind of as we wrap up this week's message on blessed or blessings, is that the whole problem with this area is we tend to dwell on the pain, don't we? We tend to think about the challenges and we allow them to grow in size. We highlight the suffering, But see, Romans 5 starts by doing one thing, pointing to Christ. You know, realizing that that relationship with Him is where it has to all begin and what He can and does do in our lives. Because as He grows, we see the pain and the suffering and the difficulties shrink. And then we reach the point of maturity where we can even look back and see how God used all things together for good. I want to close by reading those verses from Romans 5. It's not up here on the screens. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Listen to verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray together. Father, you know how inadequate... Wow, I felt as we walked through this topic for our series on being blessed. And yet, Lord, as I studied all the passages in Scripture about what blessings are and how we are blessed, I could not avoid this topic. Because the reality is that many, many times you do bless us by giving us strength, by giving us the resources that we need to make it through the challenges of life. And Lord, I know that whether we're a believer or not, those challenges are going to come. The pain and the suffering are sadly a part of our existence. But that if indeed we have claimed Christ as our own, if we have entrusted our lives to Him, then those things that would very much so knock others down and maybe even just put them down for the count, these can be turned around and become blessings in our lives. Points of maturation, points of understanding, what it means to persevere, to have character, and ultimately to have hope for all eternity. So Lord, I pray that no one here this morning thinks that we've approached this topic lightly. I can't even fathom some of the things folks are going through today. But what I can fathom is what a great God you are and the power that comes from relationship with Christ. And I know that you can indeed use all things together for good. I pray that this morning you'd help each one of us to search our hearts and our lives, see those areas where we need to turn them over to you, and then to be patient as we look and we understand as we grow how you've used that in our lives. So, Father, I have to again entrust each person to the power of the Holy Spirit that you'd be at work in their hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.